This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmuduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi tawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina may yahdihillahu fala mudilla wa may yudlilhu fala hadiya amma ba'd. An Sa'id ibn Abi Waqqas radhiyallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Inna Allah yuhibbul abdat taqi al-ghani al-khafi. Rawahu Muslim. It is narrated by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radhiyallahu anhu that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah loves the servant who is pious, financially independent, and unknown to the people. Whenever we hear of a verse of the Quran or a hadith that begins with the words Allah loves, this should cause us to pay extra attention. Because whatever comes next is a quality that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all want to be beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should pay attention to these qualities so we can put them into our lives and we can practice them. Now, very often, the verses of the Quran or the hadiths about the qualities that are beloved to Allah are quite self-explanatory, right? Allah loves the pious. Allah loves the just. Allah loves the generous. Allah loves the clean. All of this is quite easy to understand. But the hadith I've chosen for today is one that requires a bit more explanation. Very often, I have people ask me, but what does this actually mean? Allah loves the financially independent. Allah loves the one who is unknown to the people. What does this mean? So inshallah, today we are going to discuss this hadith. The hadith mentions three qualities that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Piety, financial independence, and being unknown to the people. Piety, we all understand. Alhamdulillah, we all understand what taqwa means. What taqwa means, what is a muttaqi, what is a pious person, and inshallah this is something we are all striving for. But what may be less clear is what is meant by al-ghani, a person who is independent. What is meant by al-khafi, a person who is unknown. And how do we achieve these qualities in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To understand this hadith, we need to look at the reason for narration. Just like the verses of the Quran have reasons for revelation, some of them, there will be an incident and then a verse will be revealed. Likewise, many ahadiths have reasons for narration, that something would happen, and either the Prophet ﷺ would say something, or a Sahabi would narrate something that the Prophet ﷺ had said to them in the past. So, when you look at this hadith in Sahih Muslim, and this is an authentic hadith from Sahih Muslim, the reason for narration is mentioned in the narration found in Sahih Muslim. This hadith was narrated by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu to his son Amir around the time of the First Civil War. Now, I'm not going to go into details about the First Civil War. Inshallah, we all know our history well enough to know that after the death of Osman radiallahu anhu, there was a civil war between the Sahaba. Right? So while the civil war was going on, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and who was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas? He was from the Ashra Mubashara, the 10 given the glad tidings of Jannah. He was one of the first, earliest Muslims. He was from those who were closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He fought in every major battle with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was from the greatest and the most pious of the Sahaba. But while the civil war was going on, nobody could find him anywhere. He was neither on this side or on that side. Nobody could find him. So his son Amir goes looking for him. And Amir comes to his father's farm. And he sees his father sitting amongst the camels, just relaxing amongst the camels. So he gets angry and he looks at his father and he says, A'udhu billahi min zalik. I seek Allah's protection from this love of this world, from this love of wealth. You are tending to camels and sheep while there's a war going on over leadership. So he begins to admonish his father, right? Again, it's a very heated time. If you understand what was going on in the world at that time, it was a very heated time. So he gets a bit flustered that there's a war going on, there's Sahaba on both sides, my father sitting with his camels. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas stands up. He looks at his son and he says, Uskut, keep quiet. Because I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that Allah loves the servant who is pious, financially independent and unknown to the people. Inna Allah yuhibbul abdul ghani al-khafi Inna Allah yuhibbul abd al-taqi al-ghani al-khafi. Allah loves the servant who is al-taqi, person of taqwa, al-ghani, a person of financial means, and al-khafi, unknown. So why does he narrate this hadith at that time? We know Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was al-taqi. He was a pious person. Because he's from the Ashram Mubashara. He was guaranteed Jannah. You're not going to be guaranteed Jannah if you're not a pious person. Right? But we also know he was al-ghani. He was financially free. In fact, the majority of the Ashram Mubashara, of the 10 given the glad tidings of Jannah, were wealthy people. The majority of them were wealthy people. They were people who were financially free, including Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Right? But at this point in time, what the part of this that might not make sense to us is, how was he unknown to the people? Because to us, when we look back 1,400 years ago, we see Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas as this legend, as this amazing person, as this hero, as a person who we write books about. So how was he unknown to the people? You see, this is where the practice of the hadith comes in. It's not that he was unknown to the people, it's that he was trying to be unknown to the people. He was staying away from the spotlight. He was staying away from the politics. He was staying away from the public eye. He was trying to focus only on two things, pleasing Allah and taking care of his business. He didn't want to be in the public eye at all. That is al-khafi. Al-khafi doesn't mean that you are completely unknown. It means you are trying to avoid the spotlight. And so from this hadith, we learn that there are three qualities that are beloved to Allah. Number one is piety. And piety is the most important one. Because if someone is financially free and unknown to that person, but they don't have a single atom of piety in their heart, then that financial freedom is not going to bring them closer to Allah. That being unknown to the people is not going to bring them closer to Allah, because piety is the foundation. The others are built upon it. But why financial freedom? You see, this is a point that many of us get confused, because we are taught that piety and poverty are related, right? That a pious person is poor. That people who have money, you know, they're going to be misguided. They are greedy. They're materialistic. But again, Abu Bakr was wealthy, Umar radiallahu anhu was wealthy, Uthman radiallahu anhu was wealthy, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was wealthy, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf was wealthy, Talha ibn Ubaidullah was wealthy. This is more than half of the 10 who were given the glad tidings of Jannah were businessmen who were wealthy. So clearly, being wealthy does not get in the way of being pious. You can be both. So why does Allah love that person who is financially free? Firstly, what does Al-Ghani even mean? Al-Ghani means that someone works hard in this world to achieve a level of financial success where other people can't bully them anymore. You see, one of the things that people hold over other people's heads is wealth, right? Let me give you an example of Al-Ghani and not Al-Ghani in terms of a scholar. An imam who is financially free, who has his own business, has his own sources of income, he can stand on the minbar and speak his mind. He can hold his own opinions. He can pass fatwas that he believes is true. Nobody can threaten to get him fired. Nobody can threaten to take away his source of livelihood, because he is al-ghani. He is someone who is financially free. But the imam who is dependent on a salary from the board of directors, very often it happens that they will bully him. They will control him. They won't let him hold certain opinions. They won't let him give certain fatwas. They will control what he says on the minbar. Why? Because in financial freedom lies the power to be truly yourself, to be able to stand up to bullies, to be able to hold your own opinions, where people can't tell you what to say and do because they have no way of controlling you. And this is why financial freedom is actually something that Allah loves. Now, if Allah tests somebody with poverty, that is a test from Allah. And part of the test is to work your way back up in life. But if Allah does not test someone with poverty, and they choose, you know, to remain in a position of weakness, then that is a fault on them. What do I mean by choosing to be in a position of weakness? Some people, they live off zakah, and they have no intention to build wealth, or to start a job, or to build up a career. They're just comfortable living off other people's zakah. Some people, even worse than this, they borrow money from people with no intention to pay it back. They just live off other people's money with no intention to pay it back. Some people may live off the system, you know, maybe the country they're living in, the government hands out money and they just live off that, and they have no intention of working their way up in life. This is a problematic mindset. And some people will link that to piety. They'll say, oh, I'm pious, I got my tawakkul in Allah, I don't need to work. This is not piety. A truly pious person will work for the halal of this world. Because it benefits him and it benefits the ummah. It benefits him. How does it benefit him? I already mentioned. That when you work your way up in this world, you become independent. People can't bully you. People can't control you. Right? People don't have that power over you anymore. Because you are now financially able to take care of yourself. So it's a very important position to get into. We see this in the life of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, that he worked towards financial freedom. He had his business and he had his teachings. Because of his business, he didn't rely on anyone for a salary and he was very outspoken about his own teachings. And this is why whenever young students of knowledge come to me for advice or what they should do with their lives, I always tell them, adopt the Abu Hanifa model. Have a business and have your Islamic work. Don't make them the same. So you can be free to say what you want without worrying about people controlling what you say. So, but being wealthy doesn't just benefit you. It benefits the ummah. Why? Because when the wealth of this world is in the hands of the pious people, of the muttaqin, it benefits everybody. Because a pious person is going to pay their zakah. A pious person is going to give sadaqah. A pious person is going to establish awqaf. A pious person is going to take care of the orphans, going to take care of the widows, going to help other people come up in life. When wealth is in the right hands, it flows through society. And when wealth is in the wrong hands, it stays in the miserly palms. And so it's important that wealth is in the right hands. You see, we hear about stories about Abu Bakr giving all of his wealth in charity and Umar giving half of his wealth in charity and Usman radiallahu anhu giving so much charity that he can fund an entire army. But you ever think how they were able to give that much charity? It's because they lived by this hadith, that they lived up to being financially free. And again, if anyone's not convinced that financial freedom is something a believer should seek and try to gain in their life, think about these du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to make a du'a. Allah makfini bi halalik an haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. Oh Allah, make the halal sufficient for me so I'm not tempted with haram. And oh Allah, make me al-ghani, make me independent of everybody besides you. If independence was not important, why would we be taught this du'a? More than that, the morning and evening du'as, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to make du'a every morning and evening three times. Allahumma inni a'udubika min al-kufri wal-faqri. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from kufr and poverty. Every morning three times, every evening three times, we ask Allah for protection from poverty. If poverty was piety, why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us this du'a? Some people, they mix up poverty with simplicity. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose to live a simple life. Because he was the messenger of Allah and he had no attachment to this world. But he was not a poor person. He was not a poor person. He was not someone who was dependent on others. Right? He was not someone who chose poverty. He chose simplicity. It's a big difference. Umar radiallahu anhu was the same. Umar radiallahu anhu chose simplicity. He chose to sleep on the floor. He chose to live a simple life. He chose to wear cheap clothing. But he wasn't poor in the sense that he didn't work. He had a business and he worked hard and he used that money to help others. If somebody else was in trouble, he would take care of them. He would provide for them. He would help them out. This was not poverty. This was simplicity. And we must understand the difference. So the quality that Allah loves is a pious person who is financially free. You see, if an impious person is financially free, they could use that wealth for evil. But if a pious person has wealth, that wealth will flow through the ummah. And that wealth will be used for good. And this is why Allah loves that person. Subhana rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi wahda wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da amma ba'da wa inna astaqal hadithi kitabullah wa khayru hadhi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sharrul umuri muhtasatuha wa kullu muhtasatin bid'a wa kullu bid'atin dalala wa kullu dalalatin finnar. The third quality mentioned in this hadith is al-khafi. And this is one that confuses us. The person who is unknown. What does it mean to be unknown? It means that you do not seek fame. You do not want to be famous. And this is a fitna of our times. We are living in a time where almost every second person you speak to wants to be famous. Because of social media, fame has become easier than ever before. And it has become a goal of modern society. You see, modern society is all about the nafs. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. You know, and because of that, people want fame, they want the spotlight, they want attention on them. When you talk to young people, what do you want to be when you grow up? Many of them say, I want to be a famous YouTuber. Fame is the fitna of our times. And the way to get away from this fitna is to understand this hadith and live by this hadith. Al-Khafi, the believer who is trying to become beloved to Allah, will run away from fame. Will try not to be famous. Will try to avoid the paths to fame. A believer will fear fame. Why would you fear fame? Firstly, this modern idea that we are being sold, that it's good to be famous, is a complete lie. It's a complete fabrication. Being famous is not a good thing. When you are famous, you don't have privacy. When you are famous, any mistake you make, millions of people know about it. Think about it. When a famous scholar makes a mistake, the whole world gossips about him. Right? Do you really want to be in that position? Which of us are free from mistakes? Think about it. When you are famous, you don't have privacy. You go out with your family, people are taking photos of you, people want selfies with you. You don't have any privacy. When you are famous, every word you say, people put pressure on you to be politically correct. People put pressure on you to agree to them, to what they have to say. Society, you know, your fans begin to pressurize you. It's not a good thing. It's not something a Muslim should seek. A Muslim should seek to please Allah. Even if you're doing something publicly, it should be for the pleasure of Allah. So things have gotten so bad when it comes to the desire for fame, that now we have people who choose to study Islam for the sake of fame. And they choose to teach Islam for the sake of fame. And they choose, you know, to do Islamic work for the sake of fame. And in this way, fame has become an idol. It has become an idol that people worship instead of Allah. That even when a person is standing up and talking about Allah, they are not talking for Allah, they are talking for fame. May Allah protect us from this. Fame is not something a believer should seek. Now, if a muttaqi, if a pious person is trying to avoid fame, and Allah tests them with fame, then that person should use that fame in a way that is pleasing to Allah. They should not allow it to change them. They should remain righteous. They should remain people of ikhlas, of sincerity. They should remain people who are firm upon their beliefs and their morals and their ethics. They should not allow fame to change them. That is a test from Allah. But it should never be something we seek. Now, one last point about this hadith is that it's impossible for us to achieve perfection in any of these three areas, right? Taqwa, we all know it's impossible to achieve perfect piety. We all have our mistakes, we all have our faults, we all have areas we can improve upon. But the goal is to try. And that's really what the hadith is about. The hadith isn't about perfection, it's about trying. And when it comes to this hadith, it's about running towards two things and running away from one thing. So we can't achieve perfect piety, but we can strive for piety. We can run towards piety. We can try our best to become pious people. It's the same with wealth. You can never be completely independent. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani, the truly independent. We all depend on Allah. But even in a worldly sense, we depend on our businesses, we depend on customers, we depend on the stock market going up, we depend on something. Right? No one's ever going to be 100% independent. That is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you strive for independence. You work, you set a plan for your life. You work on your goals. You work on a career path. You work on a business plan. You make an effort to grow yourself to financial independence. And if Allah tests you with poverty after that is a test from Allah. You have sabr, you try again, you work your way back up again. But you try. You try for piety, you try for financial independence. And the third thing is you run away. You try to run away from what? From fame. You don't seek fame. You try and run away from fame. How do you try and run away from fame? Number one, whatever you do, do it with ikhlas. Do it for Allah. Number two, have secret good deeds. Have good deeds that nobody knows about besides you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, those few things that you have to do in public, you do it for Allah. And you remind yourself over and over again, I'm doing it for Allah. So everybody has good deeds that you have to do in public. The very basic one being praying together in congregation. Right? We all have to pray together. Our salah in jama'ah. That's a public good deed. At the very least, you'll be known as somebody who prayed your salah in jama'ah. But we don't do it for the show. We do it for Allah. Right? It's the same with everything else. If you are doing a khutbah, do it for Allah. If you are making a YouTube video, do it for Allah. If you have a Facebook page or a Twitter page where you put things up about Islam, do it for Allah. But don't seek fame. Do not seek fame. Allah will allow your message to reach whoever it's meant to benefit. And that's all that matters. It doesn't matter how many people it reaches, doesn't matter how many people that like you, all that matters is, Allah loves you. And if you want Allah to love you, well, the hadith gives you the formula. Become at-taqi. Become the person of taqwa. Become al-ghani. Become a person of financial means. And become al-khafi. Become the person who runs away from fame and tries to stay quiet and tries to live a quiet life away from the spotlight. If we strive for these three things, then inshallah, Allah will love us too. One last point to round off this hadith. Think about this hadith in terms of the three areas of your life. Your relationship with Allah, your relationship with the dunya, and your relationship with people. When it comes to your relationship with Allah, you want taqwa and Allah's love. You want to be as close to Allah as possible, you want the very best. When it comes to this dunya, you want halal financial freedom. You want to not have to rely on this dunya, don't have to rely on others, not have to struggle. You want to reach a level of financial freedom that is halal and has barakah in it. And when it comes to your relationship with others, you want to benefit this ummah without being known for it. You want to serve the community without anything. You want to be a servant of the people without being